And now if you would please join me in the prayer of confession. Steadfast lover, when things go well for us, we can easily sing loud hosannas, but the words turn to ashes in mouths full of anger and bitterness. We hide behind our palm branches, hoping you will not see the doubts we have about what you call us to do. We eagerly feast on your blessings, but are reluctant to offer even crumbs to those around us. Forgive us, approaching God, now more than ever, forgive us. May we be as eager to lay down our fears and doubts, our sins and pride, as we are to lay down our coats for you. May we praise you for your victory over death, as well as for the promise of resurrection to new life, the promise given to us in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior.
Amen. We are enabled to be kind to one another, to be tender-hearted, to forgive one another, and to be forgiven because Jesus feeds us with his life, a life given to save us from sin. Hear then the good news. Those who are in Christ are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Thanks be to God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, as we are forgiven, I invite you in this time to pass the peace, whether it is across your couch as you are at home, or whether you are in the worship space, the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you on Easter.
Peace be with you.
And when you're ready, you may be seated if you were standing as part of the service.
Our first reading today is taken from page 679 in the Pew Bibles. It is Jeremiah chapter 31, 1 through 6. I, of course, invite you to read along no matter where you are located. Once again, I'll be reading Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 1 through 6. At that time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. When Israel sought for rest, the Lord appeared to him from afar. I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore I have continued my faithfulness to you. Again I will build you, and you shall be built, O virgin Israel. Again you shall adorn yourself with trembles, and shall go forth in the dance of the merrymakers. Again, you shall plant vineyards upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant, and shall enjoy the fruit. For there shall be a day when watchmen will call in the hill country of Ephraim, arise, and let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. This ends the first reading.
And as I did last week, and as we've done periodically, I believe, through our time together of virtual worship, I have a word just briefly, and we have a lot of people online right now and a few with us. I have a word just briefly for the young people. And I have a challenge for you, or perhaps maybe a quest for you to engage in as the young people of the church. And here's how we'll pick a winner. The first young person to message me afternoon. You can't do it during church. Can't do it during church. I thought of that this morning. I was walking over here. First young person to message me after church is completed with the answer to the question will win a prize. If you're in part of our congregation, I'll just give it to you. If you live in my home, I'll just give it to you. If maybe you live not with us or you're a ways away, I'll mail it to you and I'll get you your prize. And my question just simply is, and so I want to know your answers to this, is what does it feel like to be forsaken? To be left behind? Think about it for a moment. And once you have an answer, after church, not before, after church, send me that. Because, why did we just get a gift from Zoom? Apparently something just happened, but we don't care. The screen just popped up for those who can't see. Just said, a gift from Zoom for you. It's like, I don't know what that means. But while you think, young people, and while it's possible that that definition of being forsaken is how you feel today, it is Easter. Christ is risen. All of those things which made you feel forsaken. Maybe you're not getting what you wanted as far as going back to school. You're not seeing your friends. Whatever it might be. Life just isn't progressing like you wanted. And that definition of forsaken feels very personal to you. Maybe it isn't. Maybe Christ is risen. And the joy of Christ being risen is enough to shatter that definition you're going to give me and bless you. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you for being with us today on Easter morning, this special service, and we ask for your blessing for these young people. Help them to think about what it means to be forsaken. And as they think about it, help them to then compare that to what it means to be redeemed, that Christ came for them. Bless them this day in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we'll have special music. It's part of our service. Thank you.
Thank you, Julia and Steve. That was a blessing to have you using your gifts of music to bless our virtual service this morning. Will you pray with me as we come to the time to consider God's word? Loving God, we are thankful for these, your words given to us in the scriptures. As we stop and consider them, we ask you to speak to our hearts and our minds in Jesus' name. Amen. And I can say, as we're getting ready to turn to the text, Julie and Steve, we've got virtual replies on the meeting. People are giving the thumbs up, and they're clapping, and they're waving their hands, and also, be blessed this morning. Thank you again. The text today is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. This is Matthew's account of what the resurrection of Jesus was, looked like, how it sounded. And I'm reading today out of the English Bible because I like the way that it phrases it. So we're using a slightly different translation again, but it is Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10 in the Pew Bibles. For those who are here, it is on 865. Listen and hear God's word now for you. The Sabbath was over. And it was about daybreak on Sunday when Mary of Magdala and the other Mary came to look at the grave. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. He came to the stone and rolled it away and sat himself down on it. His face shone like lightning. His garments were white as snow. At the sight of him, the guards shook with fear and lay like the dead. The angel then addressed the women. You, he said, have nothing to fear. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised again, as he said he would be. Come and see the place where he was laid. And then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead and is going on before you into Galilee. There you will see him. That is what I had to tell you. They hurried away from the tomb in awe and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus was there in their path. He gave them his greeting, and they came up and clasped his feet, falling prostrate before him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take my word to my brothers that they are to leave for Galilee. They will see me there." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. Loving God, we are thankful to stop and ponder this wonderful story today. And while we are separated physically from one another, we can feel and receive your joy, your blessing, your very presence. So help us to hear what is happening in Matthew's gospel. Not just the resurrection story, but what is really happening in it for us. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. When I think about trying to make sense of Christ's sacrifice this weekend,
In my response to it, I am reminded of something that I read recently that helped me frame what I was thinking about. Annie Lamott, whose words of unfiltered truth speak to me, a truth I'm not always reticent to accept or apply, said, "We are Easter people living in a Good Friday world." She's quoting someone else who said that first. You may have heard it before. She continues on when she says, "And I think that every year the world seems more of a Good Friday world. And it's excruciating out there, whether it's Japan or Libya or whether it's your own best friends and their children who are sick or are afraid of what this virus means for us, which makes no sense when you think about a loving God. But Easter is a time when we get to remember that all the stuff that we think makes us of such value, all the time we spend burnishing our surfaces, is really not what God sees. God loves us unconditionally, as is. The more we look out the window, the more we reflect on our faith, how it is shared or practiced as we work through this pandemic as a congregation, the more I agree with Lamott. It may be Easter. I may have joy living in me because of it. But a part of me still feels like it's Good Friday. However, I am here to remind you, as we worship this way, that God's love is what matters right now. Not the deficit of what we do not have or what we cannot be or where we cannot go. This may not feel like a typical Easter celebration, but it's still Easter. Christ is still risen from the dead. The grave is still empty. The stone has been rolled away, and the women have come to the grave to be with Jesus, even though if you were listening to the text, they believe he will still be dead when they get there. God is still with us. We may be meeting in this context virtually, but that doesn't mean that we should forget what is expressed in this text as it deals with what is felt, the emotion felt by every individual in the story. This text tells me that in the face of the fear I feel, there is more to come. Three times in our text, Matthew uses the same word for fear. Our English transliteration of the word is phobia, a word I'm sure you're familiar with. The guards experience this feeling as they fall to the ground, and as Matthew says, they lay like they're dead. The angel of the Lord tells the women who have come to not be afraid and beckons them into the tomb. And Jesus tells those same women a short time later that they do not have to fear as they fall down and adopt a worshipful stance before him. Everyone in the passage, whether they were faithful, whether they believed he was the Messiah, or whether they were just doing their job, deals with fear. Whether it's fear of expectation, a fear of reprisal, a fear of another kind, it's there in Matthew 28. And you must acknowledge it and realize what's happening. Christ's empty tomb confronts each person and makes each of you decide how you will address the fear you feel. In our case, as a church today, the fear of the virus, fear of not being together, fear of employment, fear of whatever works for you and wherever you find that fear grinding at your heart and your soul. Fill in your own ideas about fear. But in spite of the fear spoken about in the text, and in spite of the manifestation of that same fear in us as the church, if you notice in the text as well, the fear is not resolved by the end. We do not read that as the women and eventual disciples stand before Jesus, now that the fear is canceled or resolved in totality, nowhere does it say something like, "And now they were afraid no longer, and they boldly lived out their faith, proclaiming Jesus as Messiah." That comes after Pentecost. That comes after the Holy Spirit. Fear is still with these people, and it is still with us. And that's important. It is still with us, even on Easter, even in front of an empty tomb with the great stone rolled away. The fear is here as well. On the day when we are at our most joyous theologically for what Jesus has done in our lives, we cannot escape that sense of dread that's living in the resurrection account. Just because you believe in Jesus, and just because you know he is resurrected for you today, and just because we sing those hymns that say Alleluia a lot, just because you're watching the service, does not completely resolve you of those feelings which can live, the fear, the dread, the doubt. And I think, when reading Matthew, that this is good news for us. For we will not meet next week in this building. People we care about are still furloughed from their jobs. Many of you, most of you, are working from home. So you might be missing the social interactions of the day. You might miss being with one another. Schools, as we found out, will not open. Our children must do their homework virtually, and they miss their friends. And I can say anecdotally, and they're driving their parents nuts. As I said last week, Google Hangouts or FaceTime does not replace physical presence of another person. Commerce and industry are not functioning at optimal levels. The market looks shaky one day, and then the next seems more secure. Back and forth it goes. And yet Jesus is still resurrected for you. There is more to come. We may operate under the threat of the virus, and we may wonder if it will come back this fall. And we might very well be afraid it will return. But the resurrection of Jesus proclaims loudly that this is not the final word on the subject. There is more to come from God. Matthew presents us with a unique account of the resurrection. Some say it's the hardest one to read. In Mark, if you look, we have bewildered disciples waiting to see what happens next. In Mark, they are all silent, likely in reflection, wondering, now what? Luke presents us with the story of the road to Emmaus. And as Jesus appearing frequently in Luke, the followers of Jesus are cared for, they're taught, they're fed. John depicts Jesus as meeting with the women, finding the disciples behind locked doors, and essentially proving to Thomas, sort of boasting, come and see if you don't believe. For John, Jesus works miracles. He reinstates Peter after the denials and calls them to be fishers of men. Peter, feed my sheep. These three gospels affirm the lordship of Jesus. They proclaim that God has beaten death and blessed the church and blessed the church's followers, which is true and very meaningful. Only in Matthew do we have an account like this, which is a bit different. Twice in the last 10 verses of the entire gospel, Jesus commissions the people that he is speaking to go out and to evangelize, to be with others, and to share. In verse 10, Jesus says to the women, go and tell my brothers, an obvious evangelistic directive. Then in verses 18 through 20, we have the Great Commission, which is the clearest directive in the Gospels to share the good news. While the women are sent to the disciples to share the good news, at the end, the disciples are sent to the world to share the same news. For Matthew, you see, the testimony, the acknowledgement that there is still more to come from Jesus, more to learn, more to experience, more to share, speaks louder than the fear of death, of being forsaken, the fear of uncertainty, of anxiety, or of a pandemic. Matthew teaches us that even in the darkest places and the darkest moments of the church, Easter comes. God is not done yet. The word of hope, the message of God being with us to such a great extent, is still unfolding for Matthew. Go and tell them. I know many of you are still anxious or nervous or worried, or if nothing else, frustrated by what this future will bring. You may believe that the worst is yet to come, And I cannot argue with that. You have seen people in the stores or maybe next door and you wonder, where are you, God? It only feels like Good Friday, a day of sadness, of heaviness, of isolation. How are we going to be the church, God, in this way? There is much to fear, and I join you in fearing it at times. But Matthew's gospel, the resurrection story here, makes me wonder. It should make you as well look out into the world and believe that more from God is coming. God is not letting us down or forsaking us. God has come back from the dead to redeem us. I wonder this week what that will mean for you, what that will mean for the church, what that will mean for the opportunities you have, which you do have, to share the good news that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Let us pray together. Loving God, we are thankful to be the church, to be together as the church. And we ask you, Lord, as we continue to worship today, to encounter us personally, deep in our very beings, so that the places and the anxieties that we have, the things that bother us, may not just be pushed aside, but we may see you in them. Because as Matthew's taught us clearly, there is more to come. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. As we come to the part of the service once again where we share the communion with one another, I remind you, last opportunity to gather the elements that you're going to utilize for the communion. Those who are in our worship space, should you wish to partake with us, there are elements on the table, and at the appropriate time, we will invite you forward to come and get them. I also reminded you, as I did last week, or on Thursday, excuse me, that as we come to the Lord's Prayer, it will be the prayer printed in your bulletin, which is also the prayer we use from the hall. And so, my friends, today, this is the joyful feast of the Kingdom of God. They will come from east and west and from north and south and sit at table with God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at this table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites all who see a meaning and purpose in the elements to come, to partake. They have been prepared for you. Because he loves you. And so the Lord be with you. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, eternal God, creator and ruler of the universe. At your word, the earth was made and spun on its course among the planets. Your hand formed us from the dust of the earth and set us among your creatures to love and to serve you. When we were unfaithful, you kept faith with us. You gave us love, which remains steadfast. When we were slaves in Egypt, you broke the bonds of our oppression, brought us through the sea to freedom, made a covenant to be our God. By a pillar of fire, you led us through the desert to a land that flowed with milk and honey and set before us the way of life. You spoke of love and justice in the prophets. In the Word made flesh, you lived among us, manifesting your glory. He died that we might live, and is risen to give us new life. Therefore, today, especially today, we praise you, joining our voices with the angels and archangels, in every time and place, who sing to the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, whom you sent to save us. He came with healing in his touch and was wounded for our sins. He came with mercy in his voice and was mocked and despised. He came with peace in his heart and met with violence in death. By your power, he broke free from the prison of the tomb And at his command, the gates of hell were opened. The one who was dead now lives. The one who humbled himself is raised to rule over all creation. The Lamb upon the throne, the one ascended high, is with us always, as he promised. Remembering your gracious and mighty acts, we take this bread and this cup from the gifts you have given us, and celebrate with joy the redemption won for us in Christ Jesus. Accept this, our holy sacrifice of thanksgiving, as a living and holy offering dedicated to you, that our lives may proclaim the crucified Lord, the risen one. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ is died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place, as this bread is Christ's body for us. Send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Through Christ, our glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. My friends, the Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest and betrayal, took the bread, and after giving thanks to his Father in heaven, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so in this time, I invite those who are with us physically here to come to the table as they are ready and receive the sacrament, and you at home, the body of Christ, given for you. The body of Christ given for you. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. For every time you eat this bread, and every time you drink this cup, you proclaim Christ's death until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for you, the child of God." And so as you have your cup before you at this time, the cup of salvation poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. Gracious God, you have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth.
You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service. Help each of us who have shared Christ's body and received his cup today to be a faithful disciple, so that our daily living may be part of the life of your kingdom, and our love be part of your love, reaching out to the world. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray the Lord's Prayer as it has been printed in our bulletin.
Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Do not bring us to test, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
The second hymn is also printed in your bulletins. It is page 113 of our blue hymnals. It is Christ the Lord is Risen Today. I invite you to stand as we worship again.
Standing, you may be seated this morning. And before we share joys and concerns, and as we consider how and where God has been at work with us, thank you for those who have been chatting in your prayer concerns. I have a couple of them that have come through. I had to go up front and see one additional one, so we have those written down here, and I'll share those with you also. You can hear where we can be the church at prayer and add some additional ones to our list that came through via email, whether to myself or to the church itself. But as always, we want to know, as a congregation, where have you seen God at work? And while that's tricky, because I can't call on you, because you're there and I'm here, you have a story to share. And so I encourage you, as I do each week, to find someone, whoever that may be, someone in your home, someone you may run into, a family member you'd call, a church member, a shut-in, who is not able to get out right now. Share the story with them. Tell them about how God has been at work in unexpected or expected places. And notice what God does in that conversation between the two of you. As we come to share joys and concerns together, we do have a number that have either been brought to the church itself through email or through a text, as well as through the chat feature, and I'll share those, and then I'll ask anyone who is here. There are a few folks, as you know, in our sanctuary who are helping out with the service, if they have any additional ones. The first prayer concern we got came through email earlier this week from Joanne Bark. She asked for prayers for her mother's aunt, Helen Meredith. Helen has passed away at 110. Yeah, she's earned the seniority with the Lord, hasn't she? And so we prayed in today, we will pray for Helen's friends and family as they go through a time of rejoicing, 110 years, and yet sadness because she's not with us. You also may have seen a note that came through, a prayer concern that came through from Sue Reed asking for prayers for her daughter Bonnie, who is beginning to show virus symptoms. And so while we were concerned for Sue specifically, what does that mean for you? Is it your daughter? She says, I haven't seen her physically for about 4 weeks, so we're good. But pray for Bonnie. They were having tests done this week, or they had been done, and they were hoping to get the results. In fact, what she said to me through the message she gave me was, we're praying positively for a negative result. Which is a little confusing until you think about what that means. But yes, we are praying for that. The prayer concern that came through that I had to go forward and write down was from Tim asking for us to pray for those who are in the nursing homes, who are in the hospitals at this time, who are unable to be visited by people that they love, who are dying alone because they can't be together. And so we will lift them to God as we will lift those caring for them to God in this time. We also received a note through the chat feature from Leslie asking for prayers for my friend Mary Beth's brother, Mike. Mike is in ICU at Allegheny General Hospital on a ventilator with COVID-19. And so we will pray for Mike today. Are there other joys and concerns? This is your last chance, virtual folks, to share. And I'm looking to see. And do you in the congregation have any that you would like to share? Jennifer. Who is with us today?
Ron's birthday.
Oh, yeah. Today is Ron's birthday.
Yesterday,
that's right, it was, because I said happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you.
25 again, huh?
Yeah, I just stopped celebrating anniversaries, even 21st birthday. I can't do the math anymore.
Did you just say I stopped celebrating anniversaries?
Yeah, I see, you know, at one point I said, we'll just do anniversary of my 21st birthday, but then when I doubled the amount, it just didn't work.
When you say anniversary, I'm worried about something else. No, that's not healthy. If there are no other joys and concerns, then let us be the church and pray. Loving God, we are thankful to be together here. We are thankful to worship you virtually, to laugh together, to celebrate your resurrection, even as we do so at a distance from each other. Lord God, I am thankful for each person who has helped behind the scenes to put together this service. It's a lot of work, and it is work that I appreciate, that we know blesses you, and that the congregation is able to consume and to be blessed by. We thank you for this service, for the technology that exists, so that while we have to be separated, we can be together in at least a limited fashion. We lift up to you our joys today for Ron's birthday yesterday. Bless him, bless his family as they celebrate with him. For the joys that reside in each of our hearts this morning. For although we are separated, we each can find ways to be thankful today. Not just generally for your son coming from the tomb, but personally for what that means for us. We lift up Sue's daughter, Bonnie, and we pray that the tests have come back negative,
that all she suffers with is just a bit of a cold. Be with her. Be with her family. Be with Sue, as all of them are anxious. We echo what Tim has reminded us of, to pray for those in the nursing home, those who are suffering, those who are not just physically suffering, but there's an emotional suffering, as they cannot be with loved ones. They cannot be visited. Watch over them, Lord God. And be with those who are caring for the people in the nursing homes and the hospitals. As they do that sacred holy work, Lord, give them encouragement, stamina, and physical strength for the things which they do to care for the body of Christ. We think of Joanne's mother's Aunt Helen, who has returned to be with you, is glorifying you in heaven. But we ask you to watch over her family and friends as they grieve. For there is sadness there. There is grief there. But you are there. And we praise you. Be with Helen's friends and family. And finally, we lift up Leslie's friend Mary Beth's brother Mike, who was in the ICU with COVID-19 on a ventilator. And we pray, God, that you would be with Mike. And not just be with him in a generalized sense, but be present in his life. Heal his body. Help him to recover from this virus. Protect him and protect those around him. For these things, we give you thanks. For this service, we give you thanks. For the resurrection, we worship you. Now continue to be with us today as we go about our lives on Easter Sunday. Watch over us in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final hymn is in the red hymnal, but it is also printed in your bulletin. It is The Day of Resurrection, which is number 208. I invite you to stand as we worship the Lord, and as I have done each week after the charge and the blessing, we will unmute everyone. Anyone who wishes to stay around and chat and say hi is more than welcome to do so, and I'll end the meeting as you guys all head on your ways. Will you worship the Lord with me in song? Finally, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Alleluia and amen.